Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. We looked at this story together the first time. Oh, let's see, it was about 1992, and then 1996 or 98. So I guess about every 6 or 7 years we need to look at this. This is right after the story of the Lord dealing with that Syrophoenician woman, one of my favorite stories, how the Lord healed a deaf man, deaf and dumb. The Lord Jesus Christ performed many miracles while He was on this earth. He healed quite a few blind people and deaf people. He cast out many devils. More than anything else, He cast out devils. That's all significant. And He raised the dead, proving who He is. That proved who He was. But these things, but those, all those who were healed died of something, didn't it? The ones He raised eventually died. Lazarus, Dorcas, whoever. But these stories of the Lord healing are, they tell a more amazing story. A greater miracle. The Scriptures call so great salvation. These stories are recorded, I believe, for that reason. To show us how the Lord saves sinners. How the Lord, every sinner the Lord saves is all of those things. He's possessed with the devil. Everybody's captive by Him. They are blind, they are deaf, they're dumb, and they're dead. So all of those things, every sinner the Lord saves is all of those things. And the Lord performs the greatest miracle. He heals them of all of those things. You see, that's why these miracles are here. Now, the Lord just cast out a devil from this woman's daughter, this Syrophoenician woman. In verse 31, it says, again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. Someone brought unto the Lord this man who was deaf, could not hear, and he had a speech impediment. He couldn't speak plainly. They bring. Who brought him? Well, maybe a father or a mother, a friend, a brother or sister, somebody who was concerned about this man. Someone who loved him and grieved over him being deaf. And wanted him to hear. They wanted him to hear badly. And apparently, whoever it was, they heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard that this man can actually give hearing to a deaf person. They heard. Maybe they were deaf. But they had heard of Christ. And they were real concerned about this man who couldn't hear and couldn't speak. And so they brought him to Christ, hoping, praying, wishing that the Lord Himself would touch him and heal him and give him hearing and loose his tongue. They brought him to Christ. Now, otherwise, this man probably wouldn't have come. It says they brought him. Now, it says he was deaf. Now, a person who's deaf is usually born that way. I'm getting Nancy, I never did hear what you said. I'm getting that way. My father was born with good hearing, and now he's practically deaf. It runs in my family. My father's father, my father's sister, my father's brother, me, my sister. But a person that's deaf is generally born that way. They're born unable to hear. Now, this man, and a person who's deaf, they can't hear anything. I mean, a person who's really deaf, they can't hear anything. Thunder, this man couldn't hear it thunder. This man couldn't hear birds sing, beautiful music. He couldn't hear anything. Maybe these people who brought him, maybe they took him to church with them. Maybe they took him to the temple. But he didn't hear a thing. Somebody could read the Word of God all they would, and he couldn't hear a thing, Brenda. He couldn't hear. Doesn't matter how much they read to him, he couldn't hear it. And they talked to him all the time. What people do a lot of, talk, even if somebody's not listening. But he couldn't hear them. They could talk to him all they would, but he couldn't hear them. Do you know anybody like this? Spiritually deaf? They can't hear anything. Don't hear anything of God in this world. The Word of God, you can read it to them, read them tape after tape, CD after CD. They don't hear it. They can listen to someone in here gave some messages to a loved one of theirs, and that person's comment was, they're all saying the same thing. Well, if you can hear the gospel, you can sit and listen to the declaration of God who is God. Or just read Isaiah 43 like we read. And then listen to all that's being said about God out there today. God out there wanting, wishing, hoping, you know. And not tell the difference. You're deaf. You're deaf. You know, the Lord says this over and over again. He says, having ears to hear, but they don't hear. And to every church, he ended it, his letter to every church in the Revelation with this. Every letter, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How could you read what we read and not believe that God is God doing as he will? Deaf. Deaf. Well, everyone that's deaf is usually born that way. And I want you to... No, we're not going to go there. I was going to go to Romans chapter 1 and how it clearly tells of man's refusal to believe God. That the things of God are clearly revealed from heaven. The wrath of God. That's what Romans 1:18 says. The wrath of God. And I venture to say you never hear that word used today. Except from here and a few other places. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. You know the only ones today who acknowledge that God pours out his wrath on man is insurance companies. Did you hear that? To keep from paying the premiums, they'll call it an act of God. Flood, hurricane. Nobody else will. So-called preachers don't, Tammy. Wouldn't dare tell people that God sent Katrina. They lose some of the congregations. Clearly revealed. But man's deaf. He's deaf to it. Now, he said there in Isaiah 1, he said, why should you be stricken anymore? Remember that? God said in Isaiah 1, why should you be stricken anymore? You just keep rebelling. You're not hearing it. There's only one person that can give ears. One that made it. The only one person that can give ears, Teresa, to hear the voice of God. And that's the God, the hearing ear and the seeing eye is of the Lord. The only one person that can cause you to, and in His good time, to actually hear what His words say. And see. Now I see. And those who are deaf, born deaf, usually have a speech impediment, don't they? You've been around people who are deaf. They have a speech. They can't talk plainly, can they? They can't talk plainly. They try, but they can't. They may think they are. They may think they're talking plainly. But those who talk plainly and hear well, it's not plain at all, is it? And now, here's the picture. If we do not hear the Word of God, which is wisdom, which is knowledge, everything else is foolishness. If we do not hear the Word of truth, Scripture says, the gospel, everything we say will be wrong. We'll have speech impediment. If we don't hear the Word of God, if God does not speak to us through His Word, everything we think about God will be wrong. Everything we say about God will be wrong. Everything we think about man will be wrong. Everything we think about ourselves will be wrong. Everything we think about salvation and how man is saved will be wrong. Will be wrong. And generally that speech impediment comes out like this. I. Or you say just I. What do you think? Which is what I think. Me, my, man. I, me, my man. Will, my will. Idea. I accepted. I chose. I let him. I let God be. I received him. I got a speech impediment. I. Because they hadn't heard him. Him. This whole book is a him book. We've seen before how that you heard of the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Malachites and all that. We're the He-Hathites. I'm not trying to be cute, but really, He hath. He hath chosen us. He hath called us. He hath saved us. He hath redeemed us. He hath washed us. He hath given us a new heart. He hath given us life. He hath kept us. He hath saved us. He hath protected us. He hath spared us. He hath had mercy. He hath. Not I, anything. The only thing we can say about I is I have sinned. Behold, I have sinned. The only thing about my is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But He hath. But your speech won't, and I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but you'll have a speech impediment until God Almighty through His Word. Do you see that? Do you see what He said to Jacob? He said He gave them over to the spoiled because they refused. You know, man says this, that God is up for acceptance or rejection. Well, I got news for you. Every single human being that's ever born rejects God. Rejects Him. That's true. Everybody rejects God. Thumbs down. The carnal mind, Romans 8:7, is enmity against God. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. He can't. The natural man says no. Rejects God. Thumbs down. Every one of them. I did. You did. Nobody can accept Him.
Nobody will accept Him.
Our Lord said that. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can. He said it again. He said, can't you hear my speech? Remember that? Remember He said that? Stan, why is it you can't hear my speech? He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Why? He's deaf. He's dead. He's blind. He's dumb. He's a sinner against God. He's a self-lover. He's a God-hater. That's man by nature. What's his hope? What's hope for a deaf man? One person. If he's pleased. This man would never have heard unless the Lord Jesus Christ gave him ears to hear. And somebody was concerned for him. Somebody loved him. Now how we, they say, bring him to Christ. Bring him to Christ. I'll tell you how. You can pray for him. Bring him to Christ in prayer. Lord, my husband, he does not believe this gospel that I believe, that I love. He's in idolatry. He believes a God who's not God. He believes a Jesus who's just his fire escape. He believes, you know, he's a good man. He believes this. He believes this. He believes that. Lord, would you please open his ears to the truth? Lord, my son, he has no interest in God at all. He's a wild ass's colt. How do I know? Because he came from me. And that was the way I was until you rode me. Lord, my son, would you please? He won't hear a thing. I've spoken to him. And providence after providence has happened to him. You and your sovereign providence, you've done this, you've done that. He hadn't heard a thing. Lord, would you please? Would you please? According to the riches of your grace and your mercy, would you please open his deaf ears to hear the word that you did mine? That's how we bring them to Christ. Give them a CD. Give them a tape. Listen to the radio program. Would you please, Lord, though, unless the Lord gives them. I told you about the woman at the radio station, you know. I asked her if she's listening. She said, oh, yeah. You know, she got real uncomfortable when I asked her that, as people do. Oh, yes, yes, a good program. Yeah. I think if she'd really heard it, she might come talk to me about, I don't know, either about salvation or toning it down. Right? Well, they brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an impediment. Oh my, you know, God's Word says, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Clearly says that, doesn't it? If we don't hear that, we say things like this. We got an impediment. But he had an accident. You know, there's no such thing. Well, I understand. This is we use these words for years. I do understand that when something happens, it didn't mean for it to happen. And we call it an accident. You understand? That's why we call it that. But there are no accidents. Everything has been purposed by God. That's right. How could anybody have any peace or comfort if that were not so? Well, I'd never get in a car again, would you? If you're hurtling along at 65, 70 miles per hour, you're about 2 feet away from the car going the other direction. There ought to be a lot more than there are, aren't there? God's merciful. Well, we say things like, he sure was lucky. Sure was lucky. When I was 19 years old, I fell 60 feet off a building. Landed flat on my back. And got up and walked to the ambulance. I was lucky, wasn't I? The Scripture says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Didn't like to think about God. God's not in all their thoughts, Scripture said. Don't even give God a thought. 102-year-old woman on TV yesterday, she said, "I'm one of the lucky ones." Got an impediment, speech impediment. God's Word says, "I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal." God says, "I wound, I heal." We say things like, "She beat cancer. She fought hard and she won." And we put her picture on a poster as if she did something great. She beat it. God healed her. God spared her. God had mercy on her hell-deserving soul. And then she's taking credit for it. Don't give God a thought. Praise doctors more than God. God's Word says things like this. God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. Angry. Psalm 5:5 clearly says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." That's people, not sins, but sinners. Thou hatest, Psalm 5:5. But these wicked, vile creatures called preachers stand up and tell everybody, without exception, how much God loves them. And God's going to send their souls to hell someday. And they're taking the word of this liar rather than the word of God. Why? We read it this morning. Turn away their ears from the truth. We said, we don't like that. I don't like that. Now you tell me what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. I don't tell me that. Tell me what I want to hear. And they're translating it away so it doesn't say what it says. God's Word says things like this. "I will work." We just read that. Isaiah 43:13. "I will work and who will let it?" Did you read that? How could you take that any other way? How could you twist that any other way? When God says, "I will work," and who's going to do anything about it? "I will work, and who will let me?" But this is the clarion cry of false religion. Let God. Won't you let God? God wants this. God wants that. Won't you let? It doesn't, Ron, it doesn't say let God in any of this book. Anywhere in this book. It doesn't say that. But men don't care, do they? I said I wasn't going to get excited this morning. They don't care. They don't give a flip what God's Word says. These hirelings. Hirelings. Pay me enough, I'll tell you just what you want to hear. I'll flatter you. And I'll get a big crowd because we got a big building to pay for. When you call people what God's Word calls them, worms, dogs, no good, weighed in the dust of the balance, they're wanting, hell deserving, unworthy, don't deserve a chance to be saved. No, men don't deserve a chance to be saved. Salvation is for the undeserving. Mercy is for the guilty, not the deserving. When you tell people that, and you can't get a big crowd, I tell you who you will get. God's people. That's who you'll get. You tell them these things. God's people will hear it. They'll hear it. God's Word says that. He chooses, He saves, He gives life, He reigns, He rules. But deaf people say, I me, my. Well, look here in our text. Mark chapter 7. So they brought this deaf man to Christ. They brought him to Christ. In verse 32, they beseech him to put his hand upon him. "Lord, if you don't touch him." Someone once said that everybody when they pray, even rank Arminians when they pray, are Calvinists. They call on God to save. Don't they? When they're praying, everybody prays to God to save somebody. And then when they quit their little show, they tell people to accept God. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? Well, Mark 7, look at this. It says, verse 33, "He took him." Lord,
Here's my brother. Here's my mother. Here's my father. Here's my husband. Here's my son. Would you please? He doesn't deserve it, Lord. I didn't deserve it. Lord, you ought to send his soul to hell. That's just a fact. You ought to just...
He's been a rebel from day one.
You ought to just... But Lord, would you do something?
He took him.
I don't think I don't think anybody really got that. He took him.
The Lord's still taking people. The Lord is the one taking applications for acceptance, for mercy, for grace. The Lord is. He's not applying, but He's taking applications. All who apply for mercy, He takes them. He took him. That's good news to me, isn't it? You got anybody deaf? Huh? Do you?
He took him.
And said, look how he took him. Verse 33. He took him aside from the multitude. Are you looking at it with me? He took him aside from the multitude. Took him out of the crowd. When the Lord deals with His people, He deals with them one-on-one. One-on-one. He speaks personally. Personally. The Lord deals one-on-one. Though they're in a crowd, most of the time they're in a crowd, preacher preaching, and a bunch of people. But when He's pleased, He singles them out through His Word. Doesn't he, Irene? And the man's preaching on, like, say, the woman at the well.
You become that woman at the well. And he's talking to you, nobody else. That's the way he does it.
That's the way he does it. And most of the time, the preacher doesn't know it. Why? Because of God, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of men. I've never so-called won anybody to Christ one-on-one. No, sir. It's not going to happen. Christ did. But I don't. We won't. Because I'd get the glory. But then you're standing up here shooting arrows. That's what you do when you're preaching the Word. Shooting arrows. And most of the time, Dan, I think, Dan sure needs to hear this. Pachoo! You didn't hear that. Why aren't you? And over here it's hitting him. Every one of them's hitting them. And I'm not even aware of it. Why? That's the wind bloweth where it lives. That the excellent, and I think, oh, I failed miserably. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit preaching. That person over here. That's the way it is. I'm just sowing seed. Sower went forth to sow. Some falls on different ground, you know. We don't know. No man knows. Until it begins to manifest itself. But he took him apart, it said, outside of the crowd. Took him outside. Scripture says it. Scripture says in Hebrews 13:13, it says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him. Where? Without the camp. Jesus Christ, the true God, the living God, the true Christ, the true gospel, is not found in mainstream modern religion. It's just not there. Go listen. You know. It's not there. You've got to get outside this mess. Christ significantly, providentially, on purpose, was crucified outside of Jerusalem. You see, everybody in Jerusalem hated the true Christ. They said they were looking for him. Deborah, they said they were waiting on him, looking for him. When he came, they killed him. They said, you're just a man and you're not going to reign over us. We're good people. And we will not have you reign over. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. The heathen, the people rage and they say against the Lord and against his Christ. And we break these bands. Get him out of here. We won't believe that. Get that out of here. Mainstream religion has the best lots and the prettiest places in town and so forth.
And God's not there.
You have to go outside the camp. Literally. John the Baptist, where was he? Outside by the old muddy River Jordan. It's always been that way. Noah was out there. Religion was still in the world at that time. Noah was out there building a boat. That's where the gospel was, the truth. Outside the camp, bearing his reproach, it says. And Christ takes all his people outside of Broadway religion. You say, Broadway. Wide is a gate, broad is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be go thereat. Broadway religion. That's no... Well, straight is a gate, narrow is a way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Well, look at what the Lord did. He took him outside the camp, and it says he put his fingers into his ears. Did you read it? Did you read it? Verse 33, he put his fingers in his ears. If you're not reading anything, you don't know what I'm saying then. Put his fingers in his ears. What does that mean? He stopped his ears from everything he'd heard up to that point. The first thing the Lord is going to do for you when he opens your deaf ears is stop your ears to everything you've heard up to this point. To everything that everybody else is saying, God Almighty puts his fingers in your ears to where you say, well, I'll tell you, give you an illustration. My father-in-law, and most of you have heard this, he was a deacon in the so-called First Christian Church in Asheville, Kentucky, the biggest giver, a man of some means, biggest giver. The preacher didn't want to lose him. One day he came to the preacher, so-called. He was a mealy-mouthed, effeminate little hireling, what this fellow was. He wasn't a preacher. Just like the rest of them. I'm not afraid to say that at all. Elijah stood against 850 men. Say, what's wrong with you, God? Everybody, get together, call on him. What's wrong? Is he
using the bathroom or something?
He made fun of him. And that's exactly what I'm doing to the God of this world, making fun of him. He's no God at all. Not afraid to do that. Come what might. They're blaspheming my God. Blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to declare God as God, don't they? Huh? Somebody's got to contend for God's right to be God, not man's. Huh? Anyway. One day, the Lord took my father-in-law, who was there, I won't tell the whole story. He'd come and sit and wouldn't hear anything. He'd go across the street to McClure's restaurant and get a cup of coffee. They didn't know he was gone. Anyway, he came to his so-called preacher one day and he said this, and the Lord began to work on him. And he came to his so-called preacher one day and he said this. He said, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something. You hear that? He began to be discontent. You remember those men in the cave at Adullam with David? The Lord began to stop his ears. He said to that preacher, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something. He said, I need to hear something, and I don't even know what I need to hear. He knew this much. He said, I need to hear God, damnation, hell, something. Not hearing anything. My father-in-law was a man. Man's man. And this effeminate little fella, I don't know how people can listen to those guys anyway. Honestly. He said, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something. Don't put his fingers in his ear. And a friend of his who was in the building business with him, he said, would you come here, my pastor? Would you come here, what I'm hearing? To be the will. And he's kind of a hard-headed man, wasn't he? Huh? Well, you know he was. It's just his daughter. A hard-headed man, you're not going to convince him of anything. Well, he came, sat on the back row. That's where Bonnie is. Sat on the back row. Like this. You know, like, convince me. And he told my pastor later on, he said, I still wasn't hearing anything. He said, but I do know this. He said, I knew that what you were saying, you were getting out of the Bible. Everything you were saying was from the Bible. So I kept coming. Well, the Lord put His fingers in this man's ear. And look at this, verse 33. And he spit. The Lord did. He spit. And touched his tongue. In other words, the Lord put His fingers in this man's ear and then took something. The Lord took something from his mouth. Touched his mouth. Now, what is it from the mouth of the Lord? We'll both open the ears and loosen the tongue. One thing. One thing. And it says, the Lord, looking up to heaven, He sighed and said unto Him, said unto the Lord, unto God, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway His ears were open. And the string of His tongue was loosed. And it says He spoke plain. Oh my. The word of the Lord is His power. His ear opening, tongue loosing, speech changing power. It says straightway His ears were open. I've seen some of you. I know somebody in here kept telling his wife, when I die, I want this other preacher where he went to bury me and this and that and the other. You know, he just, you know. And I remember one day, I was sitting on my tractor, bush hogging. And Mindy came out and said, somebody's on the phone. I said, well, I'll call him back. And she said, he wants to talk to you now. I said, well, I'm out here plowing or bush hogging. She said, he's coming by. I said, okay. And I kept him, finally, here he came. Man, sitting in this congregation right now. Here he came. I didn't ask him anything. I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him what to do, how to be saved, this and that. I didn't tell him you need to. Didn't give him a book on how to. Didn't do anything. Just did what I'm doing right now. Preaching. All that while hang on. He was going somewhere. Hang on, mate. You're not going to. And it finally came running out there weeping. Said, I want you to baptize me. I believe the Lord revealed Himself to me. What do you think this man first said? What do you think the first words out of his mouth were? Huh? I know what they were. First words out of everybody's mouth whom the Lord saves, whom the Lord opens their ears and loosens their tongue and delivers them from this this speech impediment. You know, everyone whom the Lord saves, opens their ears and loosens their tongue, the first thing out of their mouth when the Lord reveals Himself to them is this. Salvation is of the Lord. Not I anything. Him. He accepted me. Now, isn't that amazing? He hath shown mercy to me. Now, isn't that amazing? I didn't deserve it. He hath been gracious to me. Isn't that amazing? He hath redeemed me by His blood. He hath made me righteous. He hath justified me. He hath redeemed me. He hath His prayers, His ascension, His. He's worthy. Unto Him that washed us. Unto Him that loved us. I didn't love Him. I do now because He first loved me. Him. Now you're talking plain. Now that old tongue's been loosened to do what it's supposed to do. Give God A-double-L all the glory. This people draws near with their lips. They're saying, God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, but they don't mean it. My buddy, when God really loosens the tongue out of the abundance of the heart, you go up to a fella and you ask him, are you saved? The first words out of his mouth will pretty much reveal it. Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you saved? Why?
Because I accepted Jesus a few years back and I made my decision of that.
You ask old Henry Sword there, are you saved? Why?
It's God that justifies. Because Christ hath died. Because He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Is that what you'd say?
Because He hath shown mercy unto me. I believe I am. Because this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners like me. I'm the chief. Now you're talking plain. Now you're talking plain. Here's another story, real quickly. In Mark 8, and I quit with this. Similar story, same end, different affliction, but the same. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. I hope you'll look at it. And I hope the Lord will show you just how the word is the same. He came to Bethsaida, verse 22, and they bring a blind man unto him. Somebody that was concerned about him. And they besought him to touch him. Lord, he's blind. He can't see it. Barbara, how many people? Your sisters, your family, your friends and all that. You show them the scripture. You say, here, this is what it says right here. Don't you? You see that? Don't you say that to them? Do you see this? You see that? And they say, I just don't see it that way. Well, but that's what it says. Yeah, but I don't. But that's what it says. But, yeah, but. You can take a blind man up to a red wall and say, that's red. I just don't believe that. You're blind. Lord, would you open his eyes? Look at verse 23. And he took him. He took him. He took him. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of town. Let's get out of here. Got to get out of this mess. You're not going to hear anything from me unless you get out of this mess. There's so many voices. They're all saying the same nonsense. Come on, let's go out here. You're going to hear from me. Took him out of town, verse 23. And he spit on his eyes. From the mouth of Christ. Only one thing will open blind eyes. The Word of God. And made him what? Made him do what? Look up. Look up. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look back. Don't look back to the profession you made. Well, I believe it. No, don't look in. Am I this? Am I that? Look up. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends. I'm God. There's none else. Look unto me. Don't look at what the world's doing, what the world's saying, what the modern translation. From whence cometh thy salvation? Look up. Made him look up. And he was restored. In verse 23. Verse 22. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. When the Lord began to open his eyes, he didn't see everything perfectly clearly, but he did see. Didn't it? Like the man in John chapter 9, you know, the blind man who... He said, I know this, I was once blind, now I see. And the man said, I see men as trees walking. And when we first hear the gospel, when the Lord first begins to deal with us, He begins to open our eyes, open our ears. We hear things we haven't heard before. You see, when you're deaf, you don't hear anything. But then when the Lord begins to open your ears, you hear things, I've never heard that before. Are you saying that God is God? That's right. Are you saying that God does the choosing and not man? It's up to God. That's exactly what I'm saying. Are you saying it doesn't matter what I have done, that God doesn't look at that and God won't accept me because of that? It doesn't matter. That's exactly what I'm saying. I ain't never heard that before. Every single person whom God opens their eyes and ears, that's what they... I never heard this before. That's what they said to Paul at Mars Hill, wasn't it? In Acts 17, they said to Paul, you're talking about a strange God here. Let's hear this strange doctrine. The only reason it's strange, because very few people were telling it or hearing it. It's not strange. It's as old as God. In the beginning, God. The very first words out of this book was, in the beginning, God did what? Name something. He did it. If there's anything, He did it. Now it starts out that way. The whole book starts out that way. In the beginning, God. Not man and God. Not God consulted man. Not God's asked man, will you let me make the world? And He says that all the way through. Where were you? I didn't ask you. Do I have to ask you? Am I consulting anybody? I am God. Starts out that way. Let go and let God. Hadn't heard a thing, had you? But God. Take an old dyed-in-the-wool Methodist or what have you. Doesn't it, John? Did you? What were you? I don't know. Baptist, Southern Baptist. Were you a Methodist, Henry? You don't know what you were. Heathen. Heathen.
Doesn't matter at all. Heathen. Baptist. Methodist, doesn't matter. Catholic, all the same. God loves you. Jesus died for you. No different. God. Like Isaiah 43. I'm God. Yes, I'm God. The living and true God. It's an idol you've been worshiping. It's a refuge of lies that you've had. You've been trusting in a God who's not God. You've been trusting in your goodness, your righteousness. You're trusting in your heritage, trusting in your religion, trusting in your attendance, trusting in your baptism, trusting in your preacher, trusting in what your grandmother believed, what your mother believed, trusting all that. Now listen up. I will send you to hell. That's what you deserve. But I'm merciful. And I decided long ago to choose you. Now that's ear opening and eye opening it. God doesn't ask His people anything. He's not calling to ask them to make a decision. No, He's telling them what He had already decided. It's already been made. And He just informs them. My father-in-law, and then finally, the Lord says, put his hands again on his eyes. He made him look up. He saw every man clearly. Clearly. When we first begin to hear and see, we see things we hadn't seen before in God's Word. We hear things we had never heard before, but not, you know, don't know too much. But then we keep coming. The Lord, this is how He lays His hands on our eyes and ears. This is how the Lord keeps working on us. Until finally, I see clearly now. How do you see man now? He said, I see men clearly. I see man clearly. How do you see men now? Kelly, how do you see men now? A bunch of see them like God sees them. Don't you? You see men like God sees them. God looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that understand, any that did seek after God, any that did good, any righteous. So the nine altogether. And He destroyed the whole planet by a flood. Not the love of God, the wrath of God. And He looks down on the same world right now and says, I'm going to burn it up. He sees it. We see the tip of the iceberg. What's reported on the news is not the exception, but the rule, which God sees. There's no problem in understanding why God away with it. We see men clearly. We see ourselves clearly. We look in the mirror of this word, we don't see a good person. We see a rotten, no good sinner. And we say, God, be merciful to me. Oh. We see God, begin to see God clearly. Thou art God, aren't you? And beside thee, there's none else. There's not even a little God with you, is there? We see Christ clearly. You know, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm hearing, preacher? I'm hearing that it's all up to Him, isn't it? Now you're hearing something. It is. It's His righteousness, isn't it? It's His. It's not. Yeah, it's His blood, isn't it? It's His intercession. It's His prayer. It's not my prayer. It's His works, isn't it?
You're seeing pretty clearly now, aren't you?
Until your whole eye becomes single. Our Lord said, if thine eye becomes single, whole body's full of light. What does that mean? Of Him, to Him, through Him, all things. Your eyes cross-sided, you see. My father-in-law, finish the story. I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something. He sat there. And then one day my pastor said, that old frown came off his face. Big smile. I saw it on your face. And he met my pastor at the door. This was on Sunday morning. He met him at the door. Ran to meet him. Before, my dad would say, come back, Ed. He said, I might. And this time, Barbara, he came running. And Dad said, come back, Ed. He said, I'll be here tonight. I'll be here Wednesday night. He said, I see. I see. Well, he sees now. There's only one hope for a deaf man, blind man. You see, this is what God uses. Just what we did this morning. This is what He does. I don't beg. I don't plead. We don't have programs and gimmicks and tactics and do things to try to woo people and, you know, have singles. We have singles meeting tonight. Now, all the singles and doubles, they get one thing in here. It's all one thing. There's only one hope for singles as well as doubles. And you're not going to be saved because you're with a bunch of women having a conference. You're going to be saved
by hearing one thing.
And the preacher gets up and just declares who God is. Just declares who God is. Just declares who Christ is. Where salvation is. What man is. And then he closes his book. And he sits down. And he goes home.
He doesn't have to do anything.
And the Holy Spirit. So how you got to get people? You got to have an altar call, don't you? How are people going to know to come? We don't want them coming down here. There ain't no salvation down here. There's a bunch of flowers, a bunch of plastic flowers. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Go home, get in your closet and call to Him who's not saved. I can't save Him. Come down and shake my hand. Anything. That's not it. Altar call? That ain't in the Bible. A man named Charles Finney started that crap. It's not in the Bible. Nobody cares, do they? They sure love it. It sure is. Oh, I feel so good when I come down and consecrate, dedicate, reconsecrate. We have an altar, don't we, John? You know Hebrews 13, don't you? We have an altar. And it ain't a piece of wood. It's a man right now. He's up there right now, and there's a mercy seat up there too. That's where you need to go. Well, how do I get there? Go home and find out. See, put no confidence in the flesh. No, no. This thing's spiritual. Between man and God. Ah, boy. Okay. That's all I can say. Gave me a couple.
Turn to hymn number 46 and let's sing. Sing the first, fifth, and sixth verses of hymn number 46.